Hi, I'm Sangeeta Vishweshwaran, and I'm from Microsoft. My presentation's about building the women community at the workplace, and it's kind of geared towards predominantly women, but I see men here, which is awesome, and you know, this is probably the first time where I'm presenting and I'm seeing men in this presentation. It's great. There's a lot of points that you can take back to and share with the women you work with, and maybe you could be the champions or the sponsors for the women in your community. That would be a really great side effect of this presentation. Moving on, a little about myself. You know, multiple roles that I play, a few of those. I'm married and I have two kids, 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. I work as a principal engineering manager in Microsoft in the cloud and enterprise division. I've been 14 years with the same company, moved around within the company, but predominantly with Microsoft. One of the roles I play is, after a few years in the company, I've learned the benefits of being mentored and also mentoring, and I mentor a lot of women and men in the workplace, and that's kind of what led me into kind of presenting and bringing this whole thing up. As you know, there is a plan. If there's nothing that's in the organization, how do we start something? And my presentation is a very tactical approach about how do we put together something that we can be used in any size of organization. And as hobbies, other than the time that I spend playing with my kids, I have started biking. Maybe midlife crisis, I don't know what got me into it, but once I started it, I'm in love with it. I did the Seattle to Portland, and now I bike to work many of the days. Coming from Seattle, it's kind of half the time given the rain. Okay, now to the topic at hand. What do we need this women at work community for? One of the main things that I found at work, and I've heard from a lot of people, is it's important to have this community just to make it a fun and healthy place. Not that it is not a fun and healthy place already, but there are, in general, a big chunk of the women tend to shy away from networking. You know, when they have problems, tend to keep it to themselves. Building this community of women together brings up the camaraderie between them, and they find like-minded individuals and then kind of get the sense of that they're not alone in the industry. And that helps a lot. And the other thing that also happens is when all the women come together, it is nice to see other women who are in leadership roles and be motivated and get mentored by those women. And that indirectly helps in career development and also professional development, gaining leadership skills. But overall, it is just to have a forum for women to come together, be there for each other, look out for each other, and help develop each other, and also make it a fun and enjoyable workplace. Some of the success stories, these are stories that I've gotten from the community. I champion one of the women's community in Microsoft, and when I brought this topic up and I said, hey guys, I'm gonna go talk about this in USENIX, and asked them what they thought they got from being part of the community. And these are some of the things that came up in there. The first one, I put my own personal story. You know, when I joined Microsoft, single, had all the hours in the day, put in all the hours, and didn't care about the community. It was me, myself, and it all worked out great. You put in effort, and you get rewarded, and it worked out well. And then as time went on, you know, married and had kids, and I took 4 months off maternity leave and came back after 4 months. It was like hitting a wall. It was overwhelming when I got back. First time back from work, baby at home, and thinking about that, and there's like hundreds of things piled up because I've been out for 4 months, and there's no time in the day between meetings, got to pump, and just was heavily overwhelmed. And I was thinking, oh, is this the time? Should I think about taking a break or should I quit? And they've been, I was all over the place at that point. And a group program manager in my team, Deb, who went through the same situation a year ago, stopped by my office and she said, hey, do you want to go out for lunch? I think that was the best thing that's ever happened to me. During lunch, she talked to me about how it was for her when she came back, and she said, it could be overwhelming, and if it is, just take it one step at a time, and she gave me some tips and pointers of how to handle it. And that was probably why I started getting into the community, because I realized if Deb wasn't there, I probably would have quit. If Deb wasn't there, I might have taken a break. But that helped me focus on small problems initially and then move on and be able to handle the initial stress of coming back to work, and at the same time also help me realize that there are other people who are going to be in that same situation every day, and to be able to help them is one way of giving back to the community. That's my story, and I also learned the importance of mentoring at that point, and now I have a lot of mentors in the company, different people for different roles that I'm trying to learn and fit myself into, and having this community is great for me. That's my personal success story. The other things that have come up is, you know, there you can gain value from the experiences and the expertise of the others. And since this is a group where trust is built, there were a lot of people who said they were able to try out things that they were uncomfortable doing in their workplace, but in a safe set, it's like a safe environment for people to try out things. And there was one person who said that they tried out, they were very worried about presenting in front of the audience, so they tried it out in front of this group. And, you know, those kind of stories came up. And as I said before, this is a great forum where we have senior women and you see them and you learn from them and also have them as role models and get motivated to grow further in the company. Overall, a lot of women did point out that this is a kind of having a personal touch in the professional workspace that we have. So these are some of the success stories. Now that we've spoken about why do we want to have a women at work community, let's see a little bit more about how do we start getting there. Now, how to build this community? I understand that not all companies have number of women like Microsoft. Like, you know, we have 1,000+ women in the company. There are companies that have very few number of women, and there are companies like Microsoft which have 1,000+ women, and there's a whole slew of companies in between. But there are things that we can do. Whatever be the size of the women workforce in the company, there are a lot of things that can be done, and I'll talk through some of those things. I'll start with a small budget, a small number of women. How do we start from there? And also walk through a few things that we can do if there's a bigger company, where there are sponsors, and so on. So if it's a small company, a small budget plan, start simple. Do lunch together. Everybody's got to eat lunch. Bring your own lunch and sit together in a conference room and chat. Maybe start with no agenda at all at the beginning, or have an agenda at some point and just to get to know each other. And after, make it a recurring event once a month. And after a few of these sessions, bring in an agenda which says, oh, let's talk about this topic, or are there any topics people are really interested in talking about? Is there something that's been bothering people, or some new hot topics that's come up, reorgs happening? There are lots of topics that in general that people want to talk about, so bring those things up, and as these number of meetings progress and the same group of women meet, the trust in there builds quite a bit, and people start sharing and helping each other out, and it becomes very organic after a point in time. There are a lot of personal and professional development talks that are available online. Well, we started this in my small group, we started as just listening to the Grace Hopper keynote addresses. We started listening to Joe Miller's workshops that were on the internet. And those are free to listen to. We just bring our own lunch, sit in a conference room and listen to those things to be able to start having discussions. And usually we have an hour lunch, and of which the talk is about 45 minutes, and then we talk about what did we get from it and what can we do, or things that work for us based on that. And, you know, just that whole listening to that is a kickstarter for conversation, and that helps us move forward with those lunches. And set up mentoring within the organization. There may be smaller number of women where there may be one-on-one mentoring possible, but many cases it so happens there's only a few women who are at the leadership positions, and there are a lot of women who want to be mentored, and it becomes a little challenging to have a one-on-one mentoring set up at that point. We came up with a system where we have mentoring rings, and I'll talk a little bit later about what mentoring rings are and how to go about setting that up, but that's one thing that could be an option to set things up. Like I said, one of the women said how useful it was to have a safe bed for learning some new skills like presenting. Use that forum to have that, and everybody can come and learn what they were uncomfortable with, or come and talk about your product, talk about what you're working on. It's a zone that people are comfortable in, and they're comfortable talking about it, and now when they do it in front of the people, they feel safer sharing, then it becomes much more easier and helpful for them. The one other thing that we've done as a smaller group is once in 2-3 months, we go to Northwest Harvest, which is right here, pretty close to, and we spend 2 hours on the week helping package goods and help the charities in there. It is a really, really rewarding experience, and it also builds up a great community because we're doing something while all of us are giving back together at the same time, bringing us in together. And that's one of the things that's worked out really well for us. While it's great to have all these small events with a small budget plan, also be on the lookout for sponsors. It's always good to get some money, get some funding from somebody who's willing to help with the diversity cause. So keep an eye out, and if you find somebody, then move on to the next plan where I will talk about what to do if you are an organization where there are a big number of women, where you might be able to find people who can champion the cause or sponsor or give some budget for this cause. All right, bigger organizations where there is funding. Now, before we start about just saying, oh, let's go get some money and let's do something, let's figure out what that something is going to be and who is going to help us get there to that something. So first, identify a small group of like-minded people who are passionate about this cause, who want to go about doing this with you, because it's going to be hard when you just do it yourself and you're going to get overwhelmed and probably it's going to fall off the plate. So find some like-minded kindred spirits who will help you organize and get this initiative kicked off and going underway. Also identify an individual who you think would be a good sponsor. Some of the places where you look for this is when you talk to people, and when the people you talk about, they say, oh, my manager's really good about developing women, or he's a big diversity champion. When you hear these kind of things, those people are really good candidates to go talk to find out if they'd be open to championing this initiative. And start with a small budget initially and show them what the results are. And then year after year, when they see the benefits that women are getting in their organization, chances are that they'll be willing to give a bigger budget over years. Come up with a proposal and present the proposal to whoever is the champion that you identify. I'll talk a little bit more about what goes into this proposal and how to come up with a rough budget and stuff like that in a subsequent slide. And once you get a budget, organize the meeting with this big group of women that you're trying to bring together in a community. And in this meeting, try to find out what this group of women want to do together. You know, there is no cookie cutter way of doing it. In our organization, it so happens that every year, the same group of women want to do different things. So, you know, it's just a good idea to just year over year do a check to see, hey, how is this going? Is there value in being together as a community? If so, what do we want to do together? And last year, one of the things we did was we said, let's go back to grassroots, let's get together and let's just do lunches once a month and maybe some quarterly trainings so that we'll have some social involved along with some professional development. That's kind of what the women wanted in our group last year. So do a check with the women that you're trying to bring together to see what they want. Also find out if there are volunteers to help you organize. I mean, there are 500 women who want to do 10 things, and the small group of women are not going to be able to now pull every one of those 10 things off together. We have a day job to take care of too. So see if there are people who are going to be able to volunteer and sign up for at least one event and go from there. And when you find a sponsor, make sure you also quarterly or half yearly, or whatever be the cadence, inform them about how things are progressing with this community, what's happening, and how is the budget being used, so that if there's a good give and take, they get something out of, oh, this is how it's getting used, then putting this money into a black box and they have no idea what's going on. So by the time next year comes, they're wondering, should I do this again or not? So how do I pitch to the sponsor? Now, identify the sponsor, first of all, yes. And prepare a one-pager, a short, sweet, what's involved is, what are the benefits? You could use, you know, this slide where it has a list of benefits of why we bring the women together. Or come up with your own list of whatever specific to your organization. And then how are we planning to achieve these benefits? Give a list of here's what we plan to do, and this comes up based on some level of planning that's been done initially. And then come back to the bottom line. Ultimately, yes, it's all great for the sponsor to hear about it. What do we need from them? We need some money from them. So put the budget in the bottom line saying this is what we need and this is how much it'll be. And try and get a 15-minute start in their next business review and go present it. It's actually better if you just go present it to the sponsor and their reporting chain. That way, a bigger group of people are aware of what's going on so that next year on, somebody else will be more than willing to help support this cause. If you're, you know, people move around and you don't want to be just stuck with one person who's a sponsor, and then that person moves to a different team or leaves the company. So it's good to actually socialize with a bigger group of people to keep this sustainable. And once you get an approval, as I said, make sure you send some periodic updates on what's happening so that they are kept in the loop. And how do we come up with this magical budget number? Find out the number of women you're trying to get together in the community. Identify what you want to do for the forthcoming year. And find out what the budget is per person for the year. And then just put them all together, right? And ask for the cumulative budget you're asking for the year. One important thing to do that we actually forgot the first year to do was to identify somebody as a treasurer. And then we had budget and we had the events, and then we were all stuck, oh, now how do we do this and how do we keep track of it? So we were scrambling to find somebody later in the game. So it'll be good to actually identify somebody you trust to be the treasurer and help them with, you know, set expectations on what's the budget and how much can be spent, and then it's pretty easy after that going from there. And usually the budget's always for the whole group of women, but almost always there's no 100% attendance. And so there is almost always an excess at the end of the year. A nice thing to do would be to have a panel discussion or have something, have an event together with all the women and the exec sponsor. That way the women get to, you know, connect with the person who's been championing their cause. And at the same time, the sponsor gets to hear from the people that he or she has been helping champion and get a lot from it. So it's a good bringing together and a good way to finish the year in general. Now, if you have more budget, there are a few other things you can do along with the ones that we spoke about, which you could do with a small budget plan. You could definitely do what's in the small budget plan, but you also now have more room to be able to do workshops or professional and personal development. You could bring in speakers, executives from different organizations or from your organizations. You could do it even with a small budget plan, but now you could actually do, let's do a breakfast series with the VP, or, you know, so we could also provide or cater it at that point. And one thing that happens in Microsoft, which is really nice, is it's called one, the program is called One Degree, and the reason for it being called One Degree is, I come from cloud and enterprise, and there are about 1,000 plus women in there. The goal of this program was to see if between any two women in the division, there's only one degree of separation. And how we went about doing that was, any individual, we had some budget allocated to that, and any individual in the organization can start an event, and the budget of the event was $25 per person, and they could go up to 20 people for the event, and they could say, hey, let's go bowling, or let's go painting. And it's opened out to all the women in the division, and anybody who's got the time, who's got interest, will go sign up, and it's the first come, first serve, and they all go together and do this event together, and it brings this group of 20 women together. And then somebody else starts another event with 20 people, and then a different group of 20 women get together, and with all this mixing around, this, I mean, if not we got to one degree, I'm sure we're at least about 2 to 3 degrees of separations at this time. So that's a great program that we were able to use some of our budget for. That way, there's no one person who's now set to go do this and drive this. It's just open to anybody, and it's up to each individual to be able to go drive it and bring the community together. One of the other things that we have done using the bigger budget is to be able to sponsor women going to the conferences, and that helps with the outreach. And then also help them help provide some of the leadership training, which are usually on the higher end. I did talk about mentoring rings on both the plans, and I'll give a little bit more details on how we did mentoring rings. There are multiple different ways of doing it. I'll talk about one way that we did it. This is to help where it's hard to get one-on-one mentoring to be done in an organization. So what we did is we tried to group together 10 to 12 people who had similar things that they wanted to be mentored for. Some people wanted career development, some people wanted technical growth. And so we put them together and we identified two mentors who were experts in those space, in that area. And we brought them together and we said, you guys are now on your own. You have a year to go learn from each other. And it was up to the mentees to drive the meeting. The mentors were just the facilitators. Usually the first meeting, they all got together and they talked about all the topics that they were interested in discussing and put it on the board and come up with a prioritized list. And every month a topic was chosen and that was discussed. Every month a mentee was assigned to be the one that comes up with the questions for the topic, and once a few, one or two, and based on how I've seen it go, after the first one or two questions, kickstarts the conversation, and then it just goes on, because when they trigger somebody, of all the 10 mentees in there, somebody says, oh, I've gone through it, and here's how I did it, and you, almost always, the mentor doesn't even have to intervene or give pointers. They help each other out. This is to facilitate that level of networking, and also to be able to have a mentoring from somebody who's an expert, who can give some expert guidance, and learn from that side also. Now, this is not specific to women. This was started as a women initiative, at least in our division, and then now it's been adopted throughout Microsoft and the whole division, and it's been broadly adopted, and we have mentoring rings in the division than just specific to women, but something that could be started as just a women thing. I did have a slide on some of the things that we have done in the past, just to show that, you know, things that we do tend to have fun. So, oops. So, but since we got some budget, we have a quarterly dinner that we have, and we bring one of the execs to talk about what's going on, what are their top things in their list of concerns, and then we have usually dinner together. This was from one of our quarterly dinners. I'm just gonna quickly breeze through. And this one was, we have a bring your kids to work day, and we try to actually have things where we get the women to volunteer, specifically towards the girls in high school, to make, you know, have a day with them, and so where they can shadow the women employees, and they understand the how it is to be in a tech world, and to encourage them to go into the STEM technologies and those kind of things. So we have a big force out there that helps champion that cause. And then we do events together where, you know, we sign up to do runs and bike rides together. This one was one of the mentoring rings where we just had lunch and we were discussing through one of the rings. Some events outside. And this was one of the 1 degree events where, you know, I think a group of women went to do this painting, you know, it's a wine and a paint event, and, you know, there was a big group of women that got around to go get together, do something, and relax outside the work environment. This one was at our Day of Caring. We also have a day where we went to a farm and helped put together a nonprofit organic farm getting ready for the fall season. This was us doing that. And this is when I did the STP, I was so satisfied at the end of it that I put up a program together the year after for any women who were interested in just biking. And I was open to anybody who just know how to bike or who professional bikers to just get together, do a bike around the campus once a week, and then we all train to do the flying wheels, which is a ride. You can sign up for a different mileage. And about 8 of us did it together after a group of training, and that was really good to get together with. And no budget, nothing at all, just bringing a group of women together, and we were able to just, there were about 4 women who trained to do the 100 miles together, and the other 4 who were first-time bikers were able to do 65 miles together in a matter of 2 months. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about the group that I've been talking about. I mean, I'm part of this group called Women's Leadership Council in Microsoft, and that's where all these experiences that we've gone through and all the instances that I've talked about is coming from. This was started in 2002 by a few women in the then Windows Server group. And the goal of their starting this was to, first of all, network and share experiences and also learn from the common challenges. And then it evolved into teaching or educating the upper management on what it is like to be a woman. And from there, whatever they were able to do growing the community, they share it along, and organically it's grown into across the company and not just with the Windows Server team. Where is it now? It's 80% of the founders are still with what is now the Cloud and Enterprise, which used to be part of the Windows Server before. But since women organically move within the company and they're moving around, this is the women in the previous division now have moved around, started their own women's group, and it's now flourishing in different organizations in different parts around the company. And a lot of initiatives that started here have been adopted widely in the company, which, like I said, the mentoring ring was started here, and now it's been adopted widely by the company. The One Degree Community is another initiative that was started here. There's a lot of professional and personal enrichment things that goes on throughout the year during this. We encourage a lot of helping the girls, the school kids, and encouraging them to get into STEM and driving that cause. And that's one of the important things that we do. And also being part of the women's conferences across. Again, when I was coming for the conference, I just pinged the women that started this community to get a few thoughts about why, what made them start this. And you know, I just put it verbatim. I know it's very a lot of writing. I'll leave it for a minute, and then I will definitely share the slides after the presentation, so you can read it at peace if interested. So in summary, what I want to say is it's up to the women in general to make it a fun workplace for ourselves. And so do something, anything is going to actually be beneficial, and ultimately it results in building our own community and helping in retention of women within our community. And I have learned it, and I've also heard it from a lot of people. Do something that you feel passionate about. Don't do it just because somebody asked you to do it. Don't start something because your manager told you to do so or somebody says you have to do it. Do something that you feel passionate about, and do to the extent that you feel passionate about. That helps in sustaining this for a longer period of time. I've seen a lot of women's groups start and drop off the face of the earth very fast just because it was started for the wrong reasons. Do it for the grassroots reason. You know, if you keep it at a zero agenda, let's just start it for bringing women together. It's not for increasing the number of women in the company. It's not for retention. It's just to bring women together and have a forum for them to be there for each other. It is usually very sustainable. And don't feel guilty about getting together and having fun. You know, we all work together, and something that we work hard every day at the workplace, it's okay to have fun and enjoy being part of this community. I also have a few references about other companies that are trying to adopt being the women at work community. I read an article about Square trying to do the same thing, very similar to what we've been doing. And if it's an organization that you are in where there are not enough women or not a lot of women who are passionate about this cause, or you want to do cross-pollination, you want to do this across companies, then there's this group called Sisters, and you can go to that link in there to find out the Sisters organization that's closer to where you are and be able to connect with the technical women in your areas. And with that, that's all I have, and I'm open to any questions.